This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Dudes Who Bet Sports. We're back after taking a week off last week. We are back this week. We got a lot to go over, a lot to talk about. Papa Dude, what did you do last week instead of doing the show?
Basically nothing. I would have rather done the show, but we were busy, or you were, and didn't have time. You were at your in-laws and having a good time, so.
Yeah, I actually did.
There wasn't much going on.
Anyway. I actually did three shows on Thursday, which way I did not want to do a fourth on Thursday of last week.
Kevin, thank you, Kevin B. Worst week of your life without the show. Well, okay.
Me too. No doubt. Me too. Michael's got his three Derby horses. Right, we haven't even had a draw yet. He's already got it figured out, so that's good. Okay. We will try to do the same. Well, we're going to talk Kentucky Derby to kick it off. So glad Michael's here with us to talk Derby. So we will talk Kentucky Derby. We'll also get in to the NHL and NBA playoffs. They are going now in full tilt. We're going to have a lot of thoughts on those as well. So there is a lot to get covered on this show. I'm going to pull up the Derby first. We're going to talk about that. I'm just going to read some of these off and tell you kind of the latest of what's going on with these horses. Then I'll get your commentary on a few as well. I started at the bottom. It's basically just because some of these we're going to go through pretty quickly. So at 26 right now is Protective, 25 Tuscan Gold, 24 La Dombro, 23 Seize the Gray, 22 Uncle Heavy, 21 Epic Ride. So those are the ones that are on the outside looking in right now. What I will say, I do believe Epic Ride will make it in. I do think we're going to have a defection or two. Sure. I think Epic Ride makes it in. I kind of think Seize the Gray might get in for Lucas and get him too. I saw a recent interview, and I don't know if you've seen this, with Dwayne Lucas. He said, probably only trainer jockey combo in history of the Kentucky Derby that both have a master's degree. He was talking about Wayne Lucas and Keith Asmussen. What? How cool would it be if Lucas gets two in this thing?
I saw him say that. I saw an interview with him, and I tell you, I just died laughing. Keith Asmussen is very interesting. I've seen him interviewed some, and if you're interested in him. Nancy Holtz did an interview with his dad and himself down at Oaklawn. And he is a very well-spoken guy who has a degree from college and fully intended to use it. And he's bitten by the horse racing bug because
I believe he went to the University of Texas.
He did go to Texas. Yes,
yeah.
I can't remember what his degree was in.
I can't either. Remember.
Yeah. It wasn't anything to do with horse racing. But anyhow, I think he had promised his grandparents that he would go. And first of all you people are commenting about me. Thank you so much. I you don't know how much I appreciate that. Because I you know, some of these people, I tell people all the time that I have friends from this website, as do you, that I've never seen before.
Right. Yeah.
That have my number and they'll text me or get a hold of me somehow through you. It's just amazing how some of these people are. I mean, I'm going through a rough time right now, and they have been I just can't tell you how much I appreciate it. So thank you for what you're saying. Back to Lucas. If Seize the Gray can get in, that horse is going to get in. There is no question about it. And he'd have two in there. And one of them's, I don't think he has a chance, but he'll show up. One of them will. I don't know about this one. I don't know.
Yeah, Bree asking who would be the jockey. Who knows? That'll just kind of fall how it falls. We don't really know who would be available at that time. So that's something to kind of maybe tune into Saturday to see. Let's get into the ones in the field. And as of right now, I shouldn't say really in the field, but the ones that are qualified. And if it all stays the same, they will be in the field. And I'll go through a couple that I think are going to defect. Therefore, we'll send Dwayne Lucas and Seize the Gray as a second candidate. T.O. Password, that's the Japanese horse, going to come over here pretty late. He's coming over this weekend. We'll see. I just haven't heard a whole lot about him. Grand Mo the First, he's definitely pointing for the race. He is going to ship in as well. He's down at Gulfstream Park. Here's the first one that's a little bit of a question mark, and that's number 18 on this list, Encino. This horse pretty impressive in the Lexington. He's won three races in a row, two of them also over at Turfway Park. They pretty much said before the Lexington, we kind of think the Preakness is his race. He wins really impressively, and they're like, well, maybe, I don't know. And now I'm kind of hearing he might go to the Preakness again. So I think this will be one that is going to drop out if I had to predict. I hope he doesn't. What did you think of Encino?
Yeah, I've got him as one of my, top nine, really. Yeah, he's come on strong. He's got a chance. Good trainer. I kind of think he's not going to run, though. I kind of think they don't really think he can win.
I kind of think this is a very interesting horse to me because, and again, I want to state this more as a fact as versus an opinion, because I like Turfway Park. I like horses that come from Turfway Park, but Brad Cox doesn't send his good horses as 3-year olds to Turfway Park. And again, this is not me saying, oh, because Turfway sucks. No, it's because when he plans out his year, his best ones are at Fairgrounds and Oaklawn, and Turfway kind of gets that third string. So my point I'm trying to make here, Encino has fooled the Brad Cox camp. There's no doubt about it. He had a pedigree that says dirt, definitely dirt, and he starts on synthetic. So it does kind of tell you, I don't think they thought much of him, but they've been fooled by him.
Yes.
And I think they got fooled by him a little bit because, again, still, because even after those wins, he probably was going to run second in the Bluegrass. And they scratch him out of that to run him in the Lexington, and he runs so well. So yeah. I don't really know, I don't know. I wish I had, like, truth serum where I could really find out the truth of what they thought about this horse versus what he's become. But, I think Preakness, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes do you think trainers are stubborn and they kind of pull back a little bit when they've misjudged a horse? Do you think that happens sometimes, or do they roll with it and say, man, I just missed on this one?
That's a good question. Yeah. It probably varies on the trainer. I don't personally know Brad Cox at all, so I couldn't really tell you, but I can tell you that they miss on them a lot. It's not an exact science.
These 3-year olds, you never know how they're going to develop, and the horse is running well. It's going to depend on if he thinks, I can maybe see him wait till the draw and then scratch the horse, perhaps. Maybe, I don't know if it's a bad draw. Maybe, probably not, but. It's just going to, he may just think, I don't know where this horse can win a race like this. It's possible.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see. If he's in the field, I'll definitely give him a look for sure. Let's keep going here. Right. Mystic. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I said, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I got you. So let's go on. Let's go on there as we go to number 17, Mystic Dan. That's a horse that is at Churchill Downs for Kenny McPeak. Haven't heard a lot of yay or nay updates on him. Society Dan is there.
I think he freaked one time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, I think if it rains, Mystic Dan is going to be a thing. But if not, I don't know. And again, it rains in Kentucky on Derby Day a lot. So that could be a factor.
That's true.
Society Man is there at Churchill now. Catalytic, I think, is going to come up this weekend. Number 14, Domestic Product, a horse that Chad Brown says had the best work of his life. You're going to hear that a lot, though. Oh, so take that for a grain of salt there. 13, Honor Marie, kind of a horse that's kind of under the radar. And then we'll get to Just Steal here at number 12. And like I said, the Lucas Keith Asmussen thing is pretty cool.
It is
cool. I don't know. This is one for me. He kind of feels like looking at Lee a little bit when looking at Lee just kept hitting the board in races like that. What are your thoughts on Just Steal?
Yeah, I agree with you. He doesn't have a finishing kick, and you got to have it. He runs hard every time, and he just kind of gets up there and steals a piece of it, but he's not good enough to go all the way. So fascinating story, though. Lucas thinks that Aspie's Keith is a really good rider.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And I think he is too. I've watched him quite a bit at Oaklawn. He's had some tremendous rides down there. Looks to me like. And
he was talking about how unconventional he is. He's a big kid. I mean, for a jockey.
He's probably not going to be able to ride very long.
And that's kind of the worry, I think. He's a big kid. He's tall. And he was talking about his education and just his size. He said he doesn't quite carry himself like a jockey, look like a jockey so much. Mm-hmm. But he said he's done really, really well for me when I've put him on horses. So
yeah, I think he's very thin right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be hard because he is tall for a jockey. Yeah. You know, and his dad was a jockey as well. And he didn't last very long because he's a bigger guy too. You know, you see him, you would never thought he would have ever been on a racehorse.
No, never. Definitely doesn't look anything like a jockey. And like I said, neither does his son here. But look, I mean, I think when this whole thing started, or it was like, oh, great. You know, Asmussen's going to give him these $5,000 claimers here at Lone Star, and that'll be the end of it. And here he is in the Kentucky Derby. And oh, by the way, he's also in the Kentucky Oaks. So pretty incredible. And of course, it's Dwayne Lucas who has him there. The story is cool. I don't think this, honestly, I think Just Steel could hit the board for sure. I do. But
I hope.
Could he win the race? Obviously he could, because they all could when they enter. But
well, the other thing is, I think he'll be in all three races, don't you?
Well, that's true too. Yeah, but if he loses here, Keith Asmussen will probably get fired for the weakness. So we know how that goes.
Yeah, if he runs really bad, they'll have a new jockey.
yeah, exactly.
Oh boy.
All right, let's keep going. One of the best stories of the field or of the race, number 11 in there, Wes Saratoga. You know, we'll see what happens with him. He does have a nice race there at Churchill under his belt, so that does help. This is, he talked about Keith Asmussen. Well, his dad, Steve, track phantom, and that's it really for Asmussen this year. And
weird.
Heard this horse is doing pretty well in the mornings, but I just think the biggest thing is he just has to get faster. And I saw an interview with Steve Asmussen. He said the same thing. He said, we're looking for him to develop fast, which means he needs to get faster. I don't know. Track Phantom, what do you think of him? Anything?
Well, I don't ever like a horse that needs to get faster.
I've followed Asmussen as of you for many, many years. And I absolutely listen to every pre-Kentucky Derby interview leading up to it. And I know him well enough now to know he doesn't think this horse is going to have a shot.
No. I mean, when you say, well, you know, this guy's just got to get faster. Well, you can say that about every horse that loses, right?
Yeah.
He's got to get faster.
I just look back to when he was talking about Epicenter, and he was talking about Gunrunner, and he said, hey, I'm leading over the horse that should win it, and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't win, obviously. But, you know, you could hear the confidence. I'll never forget also when he was talking about Jackie's Warrior in the Pat Day Mile, and he was just like, look, if he gets beat, then I've done something wrong as a trainer. Yeah. So, I mean, he's very quiet, very reserved, but if you know like what to listen for his interviews, he'll pretty much tell you. And
it's like, hey, I've done all I can do. He's just got to get faster.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And that's kind of how he put it. He's just like, yeah, he just kind of runs the same and it's not good enough. And hopefully he runs faster.
So. Yeah. It's like when you're a coach and somebody says, well, you know, what do you need to do? And you go, we just got to get better.
Right.
Yeah. We just have to get better.
Right. Yeah. You got a team of veterans. It's like, well, they're not going to get better. This is who they are. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we'll see. Obviously, you know, having Asmussen in there is kind of one of those things for sure. Just a touch at number 9. This is a Brad Cox trainee. I think they like Just a Touch more than they like Encino. They ran Just a Touch and scratched Encino. So, we'll see. Still haven't heard much on him as far as the rider goes. Number 8 on the list right now is Doorknock. A horse that his trainer, if you listen to his trainer, they just aren't trying to win these races, Papa Dude. That's the problem. When he loses, they're not trying to win, right? They showed up to the Grade 1 Bluegrass and they said, we don't care about winning this race. We want to experiment. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty stupid statement to make as well.
And I think if you believe that statement, you're insane.
Yeah. You think you're wasting everybody's time, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they're not, you're not. Now, again, I think experimenting in prep races, that is something that makes sense, but not when you get to the grade ones there at the end. No.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think it's ridiculous.
To go back to just a touch for just a little bit, a lot of people like him, and I think he is a horse that kind of projects to get better. I think, and again, I don't have any solid picks or anything until they draw. We're just kind of going through the first look, as this is titled First Look. But I watch his races, and like, yeah, he's okay, but he lacks any kind of kick in the stretch, and I just feel like I don't think you can win this race unless you have some kind of burst in that stretch. So I think he's almost another. I think he's better than Track Phantom. I don't want to compare him to Track Phantom really, but he is one I think just a touch we're talking about here. I think it's another. He's going to have to get better.
Yeah, I don't give him much of a chance.
I maybe hit the board. I think he could hit the board, you know, that kind of horse. We touched on Dornock. I mean, listen, I liked Dornock as a two-year-old. I thought his last couple races as a two-year-old were really good. I was very excited to see what he would do. He just hasn't looked very good as a three-year-old, in my opinion, either race. So, maybe he can get back. Maybe third off the layoff, he's going to run that big race again. He has talent, but his races have just been average this year. Okay, another horse that could drop out is Endlessly. This is tough because when you look at that form, you look at the paper, obviously he needs to go to the turf race is what you're going to say as a handicapper.
Mm-hmm.
But as an owner, this guy has never ran in the Kentucky Derby, the owner I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The horse is qualified. The horse dominated a prep race. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be tough to say no, I think. What do you think happens with this horse?
Well, if the owner has never been in the Kentucky Derby and that means the world to him, and he may never have another one get in the Kentucky Derby, don't you have to run him?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I really think he's going to run. If he doesn't, it probably means a horse like Seize the Gray is going to get in. Mm-hmm. Now, again, the other thing is that any of these horses can defect from this race at any time, but this is the other one that's highly questionable to me. So, all right, let's get to the ones that we'll talk about the most here. We'll kind of go a little bit slower. And number six is Forever Young. And this is point totals. That's why we're going, from bottom to top here. So Forever Young, horse that's getting, a ton of buzz, obviously, people just think the source is going to freak on Saturday, Rob House Forever Young, big training. I did a video before Forever Young ever got to the track. And I said, hey, here's a time when horses are getting ready to show up to the Kentucky Derby. They're going to come one by one. And I said that I guarantee the number one horse that people will absolutely freak over is Forever Young when he gets there. And immediately when he got there, everybody was saying he is unbelievable. So I ask you, this is going to be a horse that we've talked about from now until they break from the gate. What are your thoughts on Forever Young?
Don't we do this every year with the
single year? Yes. And my buddy Ryan Stone was texting me. He's like, Forever Young, they're going nuts about him. I said, just insert different horse name coming over from overseas, and it's the same thing. But anyway.
They don't ever pan out.
Yeah,
he has won five in a row. It's been impressive. But coming over here just doesn't seem to work. So I'm from Missouri. You have to show me before I really can get – behind the horse, I wasn't behind the one last year at all.
Yeah.
And it just, till I see it, you just have to go with something else. I just don't think the horse will win. I can't put any money on him.
Yeah. It's funny. Some people on the workout, he worked out today, by the way, and some people are like, oh my gosh, this was the work of the year. And then other people are like, I didn't think you looked very good. And really what that basically is, the people that like Forever Young said, oh, it's amazing. And the people that are against him said, that was horrible. That's what this is 90% of the time with these workouts. There's not anything that's really going to be crazy one way or the other. It's just people, if you like this horse and they go out there and they have four legs, then you love them after it's over.
That's
what it is. I mean, that's coming from a guy who has seen this over and over and over. I'm telling you, with Forever Young, a couple of things. He hasn't been as good on the track as he has been advertised off the track. So every race, oh my gosh, this horse is amazing. This horse is a beast. He's just been good is what how I would describe him in his two races overseas this season I'm talking about. He's been really good, solid, but he hasn't been overly crazy. So he's going to have to live up to that hype, I think, if he's going to win this race. Again, you're going to hear John White loves Forever Young. He's going to be on with us Tuesday, and you're going to get enough coverage probably just from that. I mean, he is all about him. And I think the biggest problem with him is, yes, you look at the history of the horses coming over from the UAE Derby. They've just not been good. And again, he has not been overly impressive on the track, like some of them have. So
that's a good endorsement, though, if he's all over him. I will say that.
It is, but, you know, he's been all over, you know, a Thundersnow, and he, you know, didn't do much. So, he's been all over horses from over there in the past. They haven't done it. I don't know. I really thought Derma Sotogate was the best chance last year, and I thought he ran okay, but he still couldn't get it done. Yeah. So we'll see. Forever Young, that's going to be one that's talked about a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Resilience and Stronghold, two horses that will be talked about underneath, I think, a lot, and long shot plays for a lot of people. So did you have any thoughts on either one of them?
I like them both. The thing with Stronghold, if you are a numbers guy, which most people are, his numbers are not very good. So he's another one. He's going to have to get faster if you follow the numbers. He does have two nice wins in a row, though, Sunland Derby and Santa Anita Derby. And I thought he ran really good in that race. I thought he showed a lot of guts in winning that Santa Anita Derby. I think he's got a shot. Resilience won the Wood Memorial. He seems to be getting better. I don't think he can quite count him out. Bill Mott does a good job, of course, with horses. So I think those two are going to be in the hunt. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, I think Stronghold's a little interesting as we get closer. I still don't think I'm going to use them, but again, I don't really want to say stuff like that because just so much can change with the draw. And listen, I mean, I'm trying not to be negative, but we kind of know this how this happens. And horses we're talking about today may not even be entered Saturday, right?
That's like true.
You just never know. Things happen. Things come up. And we are kind of getting into that last workout. And a lot of times after that last work, they go, well, we can't run them for whatever reason, right?
And we haven't had the draw yet either. So,
yeah. So we'll see what happens. But I think Stronghold he's getting better is how I would describe him. All right. Top three here. And it's kind of the top three everybody are talking about, other than obviously Forever Young. But the three American horses here, Catching Freedom, Fierceness, and Sierra Leone. Which one of these three do you trust the most? Because I think it's a tough question, but which one of these three do you trust the most?
Well, Catching Freedom, don't you think he's going to have to be a little closer to the front this time? I don't know whether he can come from last to first. So I don't know that I trust him. I want to trust the two, or the Fierceness, the second one there. I want to trust that horse because that's who I like the best. But his track record shows he throws a clunker in there. But have they finally got him to where he knows what he's supposed to do?
Yeah.
If you believe in that theory. I don't know whether I do or not. I don't know whether you can finally say, hey, horse, that's what you're supposed to run hard every time you go out there. I don't know if that horse understands that or not. I don't know. But if he runs like he did his last time out, I don't think anybody's going to beat him because he was super impressive in that win. But the time before that, he didn't. So I don't know. I guess you'd have to trust Sierra Leone the most because he's been the most consistent.
That's everybody's answer. Yeah, Sierra Leone seems to be the most trustworthy one. I've heard everybody kind of say, "That's my key horse, Sierra Leone. If he hits the board, I'm most likely going to cash something because I'm keying him in first, second, and third." You know.
Yeah. Do you believe in the theory that Chad Brown can't win at Kentucky Derby?
Oh no, not at all.
I don't either. No. I've never believed in that.
No, so. That's crazy.
It's like a great college basketball coach or football coach that's never won a national championship and everybody holds that against him.
No, it's even dumber than that because Chad Brown has won multiple huge races on the dirt. So it's like a basketball coach that has won every championship possible, except maybe, throw out one place like that he hasn't been able to win. And they say, well, he never can do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He'll be fine. You know who I'm starting to trust more than anybody?
The Catching Freedom?
Nope.
Oh, who?
Fierceness.
Well, your eyes have to trust that he's going to run like that again.
Yeah.
I don't think any horse is better than him if he runs like he did. Because that wasn't a race. That was a slaughter.
Right.
It really was. I mean, that's my pick at the moment. There's a horse that, if we're not even mentioning, it might be better, and that's Muse.
He's not really my pick at the moment. I haven't decided that, but I think here's the deal. Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom, their chances of getting a clean trip are hindered, and that has nothing to do with them and everything to do with the type of race they're in. Everybody's going, okay, Sierra Leone, that's the horse I'm going to key around. He has a chance to get the worst trip in this Kentucky Derby, the best chance, I should say, of getting the worst trip in the Derby. And again, I think if it's a normal race, Sierra Leone is 1,000,000,000% the answer of I trust him the most. If there were 12 horses, 14 horses in this race, 1,000% Sierra Leone, trust him the most. He's the horse that does the same thing every time. These types of horses that are dead last, they're huge horses. They're not the agile type that can kind of dodge in and out of traffic. They kind of just drop back, make one run, go wide. These type of horses don't do all that well in the Kentucky Derby.
If you're
a closer, you're going to have to get positioning at some point in the race. Like, look at Mage last year, or look at even Rich Strike. He was weaving in and out, he went inside. These are things we just haven't seen Sierra Leone do. So I do think he is the best horse pound for pound race after race. I think no doubt Sierra Leone, but I worry big time about his trip. I really do. Catching Freedom, mentally, he's not quite there. He kind of did run better, though, for sure, and kind of stopped a lot of that. Another thing, a lot of people aren't really talking about Sierra Leone. You go back and watch a bluegrass. He lugs in pretty bad in the stretch, too. That's another thing. It's like, I don't know. I think he's one of the top contenders to win the race. But I can't really sit here and say I trust him.
Right.
Because of the factors that I just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to pick Fierceness.
I don't know that for sure.
Well, you haven't seen the draw yet, all of that. So
yeah. Yeah. I don't love it. I don't love dead last. I don't love a horse that really they just kind of are like, put him dead last and go around the field. I mean, I love it in terms of he is so fun to watch. Like the bluegrass was great. The Risen Star was great. Even the rims that he lost, it was fun. Like, he's a fun horse. I have no doubt that horse is going to make a run, but could he be Mo Donegal in a way where he runs and you go back and you're like, where was he? He finished fifth? What the hell happened to him? And he watches trip and he's like, oh, he was 12 wide the whole race or when that really mattered. And he lost a bunch of ground. Hey, I'll play him back in the Belmont. I think that could be him.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about his trip than I am Fierceness showing up for the race. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the one thing about fierceness, if he shows up for the race, I mean, really with him, you're going to know maybe up on the first turn if fierceness is going to win or not, I would think.
I think so.
Because if he's out there and he's comfortable, whether he's in first or he's stalking in second, just kind of away from the other horses, it's probably over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that draw, we got to wait till we get see where they're going to start from. It's a major thing.
Yep. Big time.
Yep.
It's a big time thing. So
it's shaping up, though, as a race where I think there won't be a heavy favorite. I don't think there will be. Mm-hmm. Like a even money type. I don't think. Do you?
I don't think so.
No.
I think
2-1, 3-1.
I think 5-2, 3-1 will be the favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Question coming in here. Who would you key out of these three? Pedlo, I'm just gonna pretend all things being equal, because you know that obviously if I say a horse and then he draws the one, well then it's probably gonna change. All things being equal. Encino, Just Steal, Honor Marie. I think Honor Marie is the one I like the best out of those three.
Ran pretty good in the Louisiana Derby. That's
yeah,
good second.
Yep. So
I just don't think you'd key Just Steal. I just don't. I think Just Steal's either going to come up at the last and maybe get in there third or fourth, or finish 14th or 16th or 17th. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, he's probably. I think Just Steal's more of a, I'll throw him in type than, he has to run well for me to win.
Yeah.
I would think Encino or Anna Marie, you could totally key around and feel better than Just Steal.
How about we say this? Aren't they better horses?
I
mean, more talented.
End of the day, when you're thinking about this, okay, who would win a race? And who, or not even who would win, who would I bet? Encino, Just Steal, or Anna Marie?
If they were all in the same race, and
they're all in the same race, I would probably put Just Steal third.
I would too.
Yeah. So
I just think Just Steal runs his ass off every time, but he runs the same. There's no kick.
Yeah.
He gets there in a position. He's been in a couple I've watched. And I'm thinking he's going to do it. Flattens out.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have that last little kick.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he isn't good enough. That's, you know.
So I want to talk about a scenario that I'm kind of rooting for. Curse Mantle brings it up. He said, if Fierceness pops in the Derby, I'll have no problem fading him in the Preakness. So you think about it, the Pletcher horses that have won the Derby have done nothing in the Preakness.
Yeah.
And then you think about Fierceness, a small horse, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You might get an inflated price on Muth, who I think is a very, time, tough horse in that race.
Yeah.
You might get a better price than you should. I am kind of rooting for, you know, if Fierceness wins and you don't have him, I think you can fade him again in the Preakness, and you got a better chance of, not really say a better chance of beating, but you got a big chance of beating him with a horse that might be better. So that is one thing for everybody that's going against Fierceness. We'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
And Michael disagrees. He says if Fierceness wins a Derby, he ain't fading him in the Preakness. I don't know about that one. I think you look at what the Pletcher horses have done in the Preakness. Super Saver is one of his Derby winners. Probably was a lucky Kentucky Derby winner. Always Dreaming, he was a strong Kentucky Derby winner. He was nowhere in the Preakness. No. So keep that in mind.
That's odd. But
here's the deal. That is way, that's years away compared to where we are at the Derby. We will worry about the Preakness long time from now, right?
Yeah.
It's obviously not years away, but it's long enough where I don't care. So,
well, we're still, 10 days away from the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it done first before we start worrying about something else.
Yeah. It says, this comment says, Fierceness might be truly elite, super strong maiden run, top four all-time juvenile, and then elite in the Florida Derby.
Possible.
I made a comment today. I can't remember who I was talking to. It may have been you, Curtis, but I said, if fierceness would have won the Holy Bowl, I don't, this would be pretty easy for me. Like, he's just easily the best horse. However, losing the Holy Bowl and the Holy Bowl being one of the worst Kentucky Derby prep races ever is a huge, 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 huge problem. So that's where it's at. Yeah, his best race is fantastic. When you look at his Florida Derby and the measurements of that Florida Derby, no matter what speed figures you look at, it's better than anything Justifier American Pharoah did before their Kentucky Derby wins. So that does kind of show you when he runs well where he's at. You know, can he do it? Is the only question.
How will he handle 20 horses? That's the other thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because he is small.
His track record says not very good. He gets bumped around. He doesn't do anything. So
And he's going to get bumped around.
Yeah. And that's when you say, hey, I think you're picking fierceness. That's where it's like, obviously, if you put everything, if they all go out and run their best race, I'm picking fierceness every time. I think it's that much of a gap, but it's also like he could really make you look like an idiot if you pick him, because he will run last, I think, if he doesn't run well.
Yeah,
like,
he might just say, I ain't doing it.
If you think of the Holy Bull where Hades beat him, and Hades can beat nobody anymore. You know, he's awful. So stick Hades in the Kentucky Derby, you'd be saying, well, Hades is going to run last. He's terrible. Well, he beat Fierceness when Fierceness didn't run very well. So that's just crazy. T.O. Password and Fierceness down the stretch for 19th. If you've got to pick the win, that would feel pretty awful. Will it be a fast pace again? Probably should be, but it kind of goes in cycles, you know. We had a bunch of slow paces in a row, then all of a sudden we've had crazy paces because everybody thought, oh, you got to be on the lead to win. And now people are saying, oh no, look at all these closers, let's try to be from behind. So it kind of adjusts itself. It's just cyclical how that happens. Your guess is as good as mine. Look, the year Rich Strike won, we had one of the fastest paces ever, and on paper, it should have been one of the slowest paces ever. You just don't know.
So. Yep.
All right. Any final thoughts before we get to the sports?
Nope. It's revving up, and it's going to get hectic again for you next week.
Yeah. Of course, we have our normal shows this week on Thursday. Magic Mike and Magic will be there. Hold on. We'll talk about Magic here in just a second, actually. But let me get through this. Magic Mike will be there. Magic and Mike on Thursday. Obviously, Blinker's off on Thursday as well. Saturday, we will be live for the draw. So that's going on Saturday. Tuesday, I think we'll have shows almost every day. But I'm going to tell you what I know for sure. Tuesday, we'll have John White. And then we'll have another Blinkers Off, I would imagine, Wednesday or Thursday with final picks from Jared and I. And obviously, there'll be a Magic Mike show next week. And we will do a show as well next week. So, content absolutely galore. Tomorrow, couple shows. And then, like I said, Saturday through all the way. Obviously, we'll be live during Derby Day as well. Saturday through, the Kentucky Derby, we will be locked and loaded. Also, breaking news. There's two more things here before we get to the sports. Number one, breaking news. I will be live on VSiN on Saturday morning from 9 to 11 Central Time. I will be co-hosting a show with Patrick Maher. We'll be covering the Kentucky Derby live on VSiN 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturday. So if you have VSiN, check that out. That will be a lot of fun. I'm on VSiN some on Patrick's show, but now him and I are actually going to do a show together. So that will be fun as well. And then finally, Magic debuts tonight on TVG or FanDuel, whatever the hell it is, at 7:30 Central Time. Magic debuts tonight. They're covering 22 races, and get this, Papa Dude, 19 of the 22 are harness races.
Never
handicapped a harness race.
Oh my God, that'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
He's probably, you know, he's good at the see it Canadian Football League. He's kind of good at these out there type things. He'd probably be fantastic with the Hornets racing.
Could be amazing. It'd be amazing. But if you want to watch Magic, he will be on at 7:30 tonight. This will be his first night. I told him, you get 5 minutes. I'm going to turn you on for 5 minutes, see how you start it off, and then you're on your own, you know?
Yeah,
like with any son, you watch him, and then you just let them go. They got to do their own thing, so.
Hilarious.
Rodney, is that a website or app? It is a television station. If you have YouTube TV for your cable, you can see it. If not, you can go to Visa, and I think you can watch it there as well. So that's that. Says, I wish there was a live chat for you. That would be fun.
Oh, that would be hilarious tonight.
So it'll be interesting. He's on with Los Ponies tonight. So we'll see how that duo works out. So, all right. NHL time. We're going to go to it now. We're going to start with the East. Okay. So it's heating up.
Oh, yeah.
It is definitely heating up. We're going to start with Boston and the Leafs. The series tied at one. We're just going to go through all of them here. And just who do you think is going to win the series after a couple games? So Bruins, Leafs, what do you think about this series?
Well, you know, the first two games, especially game two, I thought Toronto had the best of them for most of that game. The series is even at 1-1. I did a dumb thing. This is one of my best bets. I went with Toronto. I think they're a little bit better than Boston. I do. I don't think Boston's as good as they were last year. But they're a tough out. They really are. And the reason I think it, I almost didn't take it. There wasn't much. I didn't really like much today. I like the next game a little bit. But look, you just can't bet it because it's minus 170. And then I don't know if they'll win by two goals. I just kind of stay away from it. Toronto has a tendency to choke in these kind of games at home. And that's what worries me. I think if they play well and their goalie plays well, I think they're going to beat them. So I kind of like Toronto. They, you know, they're kind of slightly in a better spot than they have been because they're kind of underdogs in this series. And I think that's going to help them. So I like the Leafs tonight.
So you like the Leafs tonight? Do you like them in the series?
I think if they win tonight, yes.
Okay. We're on the opposite side. I went Boston tonight.
Now, I understand. I get it.
I picked Boston to win the series still. I think they win tonight. So we are opposite sides there. I think Boston's going to be the better team. I think in a 7-game series, they're going to be able to get past them. So I took the Bruins. Now, before we get to the West, let's go to a couple more East series here. The Panthers and the Lightning. Panthers kind of flexed the muscle in game one. Looked good. Game two was a hell of a game. Overtime win for the Panthers. Lightning get back at home now. I mean, are we going to see a series or what do you think of this one?
I just don't think Tampa's as good as they have been. They're extremely hard to beat. I think they're going to get a game at home. Florida is really good. And that was a big win for them last night because Tampa played great.
Yeah, Tampa it kind of felt like if Tampa was going to win the series, they really needed to win that game.
I think they bounce back. If they're going to win a game, they got to win this next one or it's over. I don't know if I bet it at all, though, because I don't know if they can beat Florida. Florida is really good. But if they're going to win one, it would be this one. I don't think they're going to win the series, though.
Yeah. Well, look at this. Pedlo's on Toronto as well. So we'll see what happens tonight. Like I said, I'm in Boston. But, I think Panthers are going to win this in five. I do think the Lightning may split here, but I think the Panthers are a little better. I think the rivalry aspect kind of made this series closer so far. So I'm with the Panthers. Hurricanes, Islanders, if you missed game two, I think the Islanders blew their big chance. They got the lead. They looked like they were going to run away and get a road victory, and the Carolina Hurricanes come back with four goals in the third period to win 5-3. Now we shift gears to Elmont, New York, up there in Long Island, right across from Belmont Park. I mean, what do you think? Are the Islanders done after that?
Listen, I don't know how you come back from that one because they played great. And they've been playing so well. If they'd have got that game, I'd give them a chance. I wouldn't.
You know, I like to go against Carolina.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the spot. And yeah, that was a heartbreaker.
If you had the Islanders, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
If they're going to win, this would be the one you would think. They could. They're better than people think they are.
Yeah.
But I've got to go with Carolina. I think they're pretty good.
I think the Islanders are done. I think they're done after that one, no doubt. One more in the East, then we'll go to the West. Rangers and Capitals, they're going to go for Game 3 Friday. Rangers up 2-0. They've taken care of business. Pretty two nice wins. Does it change at all going over to Washington?
I just think they're better than the Capitals. I think Ovechkin is getting old. You know, I don't think he's got that dynamic stuff you got to have in your superstar. I don't think they can beat the Rangers if the Rangers are with it and they're ready and they're playing well. They kind of pissed me off last night that they didn't win by two because I thought they were going to, and they didn't. The Capitals are, you know, they're a resilient bunch. They play hard. But I'm going the Rangers maybe in a sweep of that series.
This does kind of feel like a classic mismatch. Yeah, it does feel like a mismatch. So I'm with you. I'm on the Rangers as well. Now, let's go back to the West. You wanted to talk about this. I stopped you. But, okay, Golden Knights and Stars tonight. You said you'd like the Stars, but the price isn't there. Yeah. Let's talk more big picture with the series. The Knights won the first game. Honestly, they look just as good as Dallas in game one. I think their roster is just as good as Dallas in game one. But the Stars are very good. What's going to happen in the series? Who's winning the series?
Yeah. Vegas jumped on them the other night, and the Dallas goalie wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But Dallas peppered the Vegas goalie, had a lot of chances, and he was phenomenal. And I think they dominated the first couple of second and third periods of the game, I thought. Carried to play anyway. Could have won, didn't, because they had a horrible first period. I think they bounce back and win tonight. Key game will be game 3. That's going to be a key one. If Dallas evens it up tonight, and I think they will, if they're going to win that series, I think they're going to have to win game 3. So I'm leaning towards Vegas at this point. But I'll tell you something. Vegas is not great. Mm-hmm. They can be beat.
Yeah.
And I just this game tonight, Dallas has to have it. And I've liked Dallas a lot all year long. Look at their record, 52-21 is pretty good.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. So I think they win tonight. I'll probably pick them in game 3 as well.
Oh, man, I'm going to stay away from this series the whole time. That game 1 to me looked like a Vegas team. We've been here, done that. You're going to have to rise to our level. And look, Dallas might. But to me, I don't think this Vegas team's going to flinch. They're going to be a tough out. I think this one's going 7 games.
You know, they finished the season pretty good, too.
Yep.
They won some games. They had to. They're pretty good. Yeah, I'd hate to have to beat the defending champion in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, a team that beat your ass last year too. You know, they disposed of them. I wouldn't say. Well, I'd say fairly easily. I don't know. I think it's going to be. I think Vegas is going to win that series. I really do. But we'll see. Dallas. I hate saying that because I am a fan, and I'm not a fan. But as far as betting Dallas, I'm a fan of betting them because they've been very good all year. So, we'll see. Kings and the Oilers also out in the West. Thoughts on this one?
If the Oilers are ready and play, they're way better than the Kings.
I agree.
Kings may get one in LA. They ain't winning tonight. Give me the Oilers if they're ready to play.
All right. I'm 100% with you. I think the Oilers are going to win that series. I don't have a lot else to say about that. All right. Let's go to the other two West series before we go to the NBA here. The Canucks and the Predators. The Predators tied that series up at one with a pretty decisive win. This series, to me, has been all about the bounces. The two teams have kind of been the same, and whoever got kind of the bounces have won each of the games. Now we go to Nashville. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this one?
Classic. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Vancouver's good. Nashville is too. I'm going with Nashville to get this one. And you picked them to win the series. I probably am going to as well. I just don't think the Canucks are as good as their record. How about that?
I was on Sharp Money yesterday, and one of my plays was Nashville. I think they were like plus 125, something like that. Can't remember off the top of my head. And I stayed with them, and I kind of said yesterday before game two, I said, look, game one, it was an even game. They got a couple bad breaks. They lost. That's playoff hockey. But I said, the thing that I really like about Nashville, they're on the road, and they're getting to their game. It's a Nashville type of game. And if you can go on the road and play your style, when you get home, you're definitely going to play your style. To me, I think Nashville's going to be tough. Or Vancouver's going to have a tough time beating Nashville in Nashville. So I'm still on the Predators. I like what I've seen from them after two games. And obviously, the goalie situation with Thatcher Demko, he did not play game two. We don't know. It's playoff hockey. You just don't know about injuries.
Right.
It's not good. You don't, this is not the time to lose your goalie.
No, absolutely not.
So I think the Predators are primed to upset the Canucks. Finally, this series is off the wall. This series is awesome. Jets Avalanche were tied at a game apiece. Bonkers. The first two games of this have been insane. 7-6 game one, game two, high scoring as well. I said, I was on with Samich on Magic Mike before the playoffs started last Thursday, and I said, I won't bet one thing with this series because this, a month ago, I would have I've been all over Colorado, but Winnipeg played incredible to end the season.
Yes, I did.
Better than Colorado. And it's like, I think this is a total coin flip. What do you think?
Well, I'm really mad at myself from last night. I should have picked Colorado. This is the type of game they win. I'm so mad that I didn't because I really thought they were going to win.
But more than anything, just not to interrupt, but more than anything, didn't you just almost, and I didn't do it either, but I should have as well. Didn't you just feel like this is a series that's going to be 1-1?
Yeah.
Like, forget about analyzing the game. It's like, no, these two teams, it's not going to be 2-0.
Well, and I just knew that Colorado was going to come out and play better defensively. They were awful. And you know, Winnipeg scored 7 goals on 23 shots. I don't know if I ever saw that before. And it was just, I don't know. I do think this, I just don't know whether Winnipeg is, obviously they are, they've proven it, but boy, it's tough to pick against Colorado at home. It is so tough to pick against them.
Yep.
It'll be a heck of a game. Tremendous game.
I think
fun to watch.
I think Colorado's going to win it. I do. I wouldn't be shocked because this Winnipeg team is very good.
Yeah. The problem with these games, 9 o'clock. Man, I can't make it through the whole game. I don't care how good it is. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't make it through those intermissions. That's the issue.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's, I know. Tough. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I don't know. I really wish these two teams hadn't have matched up against each other for selfish reasons, for my betting reasons, because I just don't want to play against either one of them. But I do think Colorado is a little more dangerous, and I think that'll end up being the difference in this thing. All right, you ready to carry it? Let's go to the NBA.
Because I do watch the NBA maybe a little bit more than hockey. I don't know. You definitely watch more hockey. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So this series, the thing that is so tough on the NBA is that the injury situation's there too.
Yeah.
And they're about as bad as hockey. They're very vague on whether they're going to play or not. You don't know whether to believe it or not. And there's always seems to be like there's some superstar that's not going to play. Mm-hmm. And we look at these first two games, and that's what we've got. You got Jimmy Butler, and I can't remember the other one. There's another decent player that's out for the Heat. And then, you know, you got Boston that's relatively healthy. But look at the point spread. It's 14.5.
Yeah.
And the Heat, we all know how well the Heat play in the playoffs, and they're very well coached. So you can't bet it. You're afraid to bet the 14.5, even though the Heat are injured. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to come out tonight and they're going to give everything they've got. And their coach, Spolster, or however you pronounce it, he's a great coach. He's going to figure out what he needs to do. But then they don't have their guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what frustrates me, I'm afraid to bet Boston at 14.5. And I'm afraid that the Heat might get blown out. It's a possibility. So yeah. Having said that, Heat are not going to win the series. So it's just, I think they may get swept.
Okay, we started with an easy one. I think I can even say I don't think the Heat are winning that series. Now, let's go to one that after game one, I'm a little worried about. This is the only basketball team I watch, okay, the Thunder. Yeah. They got lucky, I think, to win the first game against the Pelicans. Well, they kind of relax now that this thing has started. Like, what do you think about this?
Well, I analyzed this a lot, too, because this is my team as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pelicans are without Zion. What else is new?
Yeah.
And probably will miss the whole series because that's what he does. And I'd get rid of him in a heartbeat. But anyway, yeah. I'm not the Pelicans. But you look at the point spread, 7.5. Okay. And you got a very young Oklahoma City team with no playoff experience to speak of. They were in the play-in tournament last year. But the Pelicans are without Zion. But if you watch that game the other night, the Thunder, two things. The Thunder shot the ball poorly.
Mm-hmm.
When they shoot the ball poorly, they're vulnerable. The other thing is they didn't rebound very well. And another thing is they turned it over a bunch. And they don't usually turn it over. So I don't think that's going to happen tonight. The rebounding bothers me because New Orleans is physical inside, even without Zion. And they bullied the Thunder around. Mm-hmm. And that's the vulnerability of the Thunder. They're not very physical. So if they're turning the ball over and they're not shooting well, they could lose. So that 7.5 is very risky to bet. And then you look at it and you go, well, the Pelicans are down their best player, but they played a lot of games without him. So I stayed away from it. I do think the Thunder will play a lot better tonight.
I watched the game, and I'm way out of the loop when it comes to NBA, obviously, and I admit that. I didn't know one player on the Pelicans. I really didn't. I literally said, who are these guys? I said that myself out loud.
Well, they got a couple of pretty good names there.
So you think the Thunder calm down, win the series pretty easily?
I expect a much better effort. Let's just think about it.
Yeah.
The worst thing probably happened to them, they got the number one seed.
Yeah.
I think they'd have been better as a two. So that's added a bunch of pressure on them. Nobody thinks there's very good. Everybody's picking against them.
Right.
And it was their first game and for these guys. And it was high pressure, and then they just didn't shoot well. The key tonight will be, will they come out and shoot the basketball well? If they do, they're going to win by more than 7.5, in my opinion.
If the Thunder come out and they don't play well again, is it time to worry, or do you think?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It is.
Okay.
They're going to play well tonight.
All right. Well, I'll just tune out to the rest of this you're going to talk about. I was just excited for the Thunder talk. Don't care about the rest. Let's talk about the next one here. Let's see here. Cleveland is ahead 2-0 in this series. Mm-hmm. They're going into Orlando next, obviously. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Cleveland Magic. Somebody in our chat said they thought the Magic, not this year, but they're going to be a really good team down the road.
Yeah, they're young. This is the one I'm the least interested in. I haven't watched a minute of it. I'm a little surprised that Cleveland's won the first two easily. They haven't had a sweat. And that surprised me because I thought the Magic would give them a game. I'm going to go out. Orlando is favored in this one. They haven't shown any reason to be favored in this. So wouldn't be surprised if they win. I have to stay away from it again because I don't like Cleveland very well.
Yeah.
So I think Cleveland's going to win the series. Magic may win this one tomorrow.
All right, so Cleveland, the series, Magic, maybe tomorrow. Maybe. Let's go Knicks and the Sixers. This is a 2-0 series now, but I did see, because I was in New York when Game 2 happened, and I saw a front page of the paper, the 76ers feel like they were screwed out of this game. Game 2.
Some questionable calls.
Yeah, so they're very upset. This seems like this is pretty tight. From a series perspective, seems like these two teams are evenly matched. What do you think?
Well, the Sixers had the game won and blew it. They had a 4-point lead with a minute 36 to go. And they can bitch all they want, but they did some dumb stuff in that game. They did get a questionable call or two. Yeah. Knicks made an unbelievable shot, a 3-pointer that hit the front of the rim and it just went straight up in the air and bounced back in. It was. They missed that shot and it's over. That's the Sixers win. So they got lucky there. And then Phil Levy threw the damn ball away. And just a terrible inbounds pass. And so they blew the game. It should be 1-1. I don't know how they bounce back from that, whether they come out firing or not. The Knicks have been playing very well. The Sixers had been on a roll. And I thought they'd win one of those games, and they should have. I like them tomorrow night, but I don't know. I think it'll be close at 4.5 iffy. I'm going to take the Sixers tomorrow night to beat the Knicks.
What do you think overall? You think can the Sixers win the series?
I think the Sixers still a chance.
Okay.
Embiid, here's the thing about Embiid. He is playing. He's trying to play.
Yeah.
But he's hobbled.
He's not very healthy.
No, yeah. he's having trouble. His mobility's not very good. And he's having trouble getting up and down the floor. And as the series goes on, I can't see that getting any better.
Is this true? The game they protested the game. The game's under protest.
Did they? They're not gonna.
Of course not. No.
Nobody thinks they're gonna over that's not gonna happen. I thought the Sixers might. With a healthy Embiid, I thought they would beat the Knicks, and I thought they were the only challengers to the Celtics. But he's hobbling around out there. So,
All right. Well, he's important. There's no doubt about that. Even I know that. So, yeah. All right. Nuggets and the Lakers. Weren't the Lakers complaining about calls as well? I thought I read that.
You somewhere. Need to complain about choking. You can bitch about the calls all you want. When you got a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter and you get beat, I don't want to hear it. And I'm a Lakers. I like the Lakers. And they had them beat. And I think the Nuggets hit a three at the buzzer to win, maybe, I think it was. Mm-hmm. That was a late game. I didn't see the end of it. I think that series is over. That'll be one of my best bets tomorrow. Nuggets, underdogs? Give me Denver.
All right.
Unless somebody's injured that I don't know about.
Well, I certainly would not be the one that would know that. So.
Well, I haven't looked at it yet.
Do your research before you bet that game, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's a little fishy to me that Denver's a 1.5-point underdog.
It's not for me because the Lakers are such a public team. I think that's part of it. But again, I'm not an NBA guy at all. So, okay, Bucks and the Pacers. Mm-hmm. This series is tied at 1. My nephew, who is a big NBA guy, he texted me before game 1, and he said, Pacers, we're going to win this game tonight. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. The Bucks won. And then I texted him before game 2, and I said, well, you going rolling back the Pacers? He's like, no, you know, maybe I misjudged it. Well, the Pacers won game 2.
They slaughtered them.
Yeah, it's 1-1. Of course, the Bucks have injury problems, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Well, I mean, if Giannis isn't going to play, I'm going with the Pacers.
They
killed them. They didn't shoot well in game 1, and the Pacers are a high-scoring team. When they don't shoot well, they're going to lose. And they didn't shoot well at all. And then they shot it a lot better last night. They can put up a lot of points. Their issue is defense. And when you don't have Giannis, the Bucks' advantage is really nothing. So I'm going to go with the Pacers to win. The Bucks stumbled down the stretch. They didn't play very well. We've talked about them before, making the coaching change and everything. I don't think they're very stable. So I like the Pacers, but I'll say this about the Pacers. I miss them almost every time. That's a team I just can't get right. I just can't.
Curtis is going to go to game four of that Pacers game. So that'll be cool. Very cool.
Like yeah. Tonight, he's guaranteeing one on game four. They're in the driver's seat.
That's right. Well, if they win game three and game four, it's going to be pretty tough. Yes, so you like the Pacers to win the series?
I do.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. Clippers and the Mavericks. This one's tied at one as well. Mm-hmm. I did see Luka kind of carried the Mavs to a victory the other night. What do you think is going to happen here? To me, like when I see this, I think the Mavs are going to win the series without knowing anything. But go ahead.
Me too, because the Clippers are chokers, and they had to get a split in L.A. Clippers played great in game one. This is what they do. They had them right where you want them, and they didn't get it done in game two. Now their backs are against the wall. How many times have we seen this out of them? That's the way they are. Yeah. They just can't win a big game. So I like the Mavericks to come out and beat them and win the series. I picked them to win it before it ever started. So
this all right.
We'll see. And if the Thunder can come through, the barring an upset, this is who they would play with the winner.
That'll be a battle. Mm-hmm. By the way, we haven't talked about the Thunder game I went to was like almost like an exhibition game.
Yeah, because Dallas didn't bring anybody.
The Thunder absolutely had to win, and Dallas played none of their players.
Yeah.
It was like a 60-point win for the Thunder.
Oh, it was awful. So, yeah, Dallas didn't care.
It was a lot of excitement for about a quarter, and then everybody was like, oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I think it's the last one.
Dirty Ridge here. He says, Kawhi, whatever it is, Westbrook, Harden, and Paul, that's the best lineup in the NBA if all healthy. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, what is he, 40?
No, I think when you think about this, all these guys. Yeah, there you go. Kevin B said back in 95. Not that late. He's talking about Paul George. But here's how I know these guys are old, okay? And this is an easy one. I've heard of all of them. They got to be old.
Because
if I've heard of them, they're old. That's how it is with the NBA. Well,
Paul George played for the Thunder 10 years ago.
I know, and he went with a shit then.
And Harden played back with Durant. How long has that been?
When's the last time Harden, I don't know.
Well, he played good in game one, and that's why they won.
Whatever happened to Kawhi Leonard?
He's still good. But he's older too.
Kind of the last thing I remember about watching the NBA was he carried somebody to a championship.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah.
I think he may have been a Pacers. Maybe.
I don't remember. No.
But they didn't win the championship. He was with somebody else.
Yeah.
Westbrook hadn't been any good in a long time. So.
No. Unfortunately.
He can't shoot the ball at all anymore. So.
No.
Yeah.
Toronto. That's right. He made that shot for Toronto. Yeah. See, that just shows you how much I don't follow.
Well, I didn't watch it much either till I started doing this. So
yeah. Timberwolves and the Suns. I did watch game one of this because it was the only thing on TV at the time. And Durant looked good for a little while, and then that was it.
This series has shocked me.
Yeah.
I thought the Suns would win this series. They haven't made either game even close.
No.
The Timberwolves have been in control the whole way. The Suns, when they made those trades, everybody thought, they were, including me, thought, wow, look out. And they just never have been able to get that mesh together. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of injuries to those players over the, and they just never have been able to do it. And I don't think they're going to do it this year. As well, they may get one in Phoenix, but I just haven't seen any reason to even get excited. If you're a Suns fan, they haven't been in either game so far. Minnesota's kind of underrated by me as well. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good. That game I watched, the first game, the Suns kind of got off to a good start. And you kind of had that feeling, well, some veterans here on the Suns, and they might just be able to kind of, be that team that kind of outclasses the Wolves and the T-Wolves. And then they just turned it on and kicked their ass. And they kind of did the same thing the next night, too, from the stats that I saw. So,
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Wolves. And, you know, after you've seen it, though, to me, I still think the Nuggets are way the team to beat in the West.
I do, too.
So, and then are you
beat the champs?
Are you sticking with the Celtics in the East? Oh, I guess no reason not to.
No, I don't see anybody can beat them if they stay healthy.
All right.
Yeah, I like them.
Okay. Well, anything else you wanna talk about here before we get off? I think that's we covered them. Yeah, we covered them all there. So.
Yeah, I mean baseball's rolling, and I can't get those right either. So I'm struggling with that.
Baseball, that's been pretty good for me so far.
That's good. You're good at it.
Yeah,
Wow, the Cleveland Guardians are off to a start. I don't think anybody's up for that.
If you want to cover baseball for just a second, we can just kind of go over what's happened so far. And it's so early that you can't. Don't get too excited, but I really liked Baltimore. I really like them.
Yep. Yankees are okay.
Yankees, yeah.
That division is pretty good. That thing's loaded.
Yeah.
You got the Blue Jays, you got the Red Sox, and Tampa's okay as well. So I think all five of those teams are right around 500, or I don't think any of them have a losing record. Tampa might.
Tampa is one game under, but you know, they could win tonight and get it done. And get the 13-13. Cleveland, Kansas City, Detroit, they're all pretty good in the Central, honestly. Like, Central's not bad this year.
And the White Sox are pathetic.
Yep, they are horrible. The Twins have not been very good yet either. You know, the defending champion Rangers just sitting there at 12-12. They have not been
their wheels. That division's terrible. Seattle's starting to play, though.
Seattle's just okay.
Look at the Astros.
The Astros are horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a bad team right now.
It is.
National League in the East, the Braves, obviously good. Philly struggled early. They're getting going a little bit. Yep. Mets have been surprising.
That's a pretty good division there, too.
Yep, they've been pretty good.
Yeah, the Braves are, and the Phillies are probably the two best, but you're right, the Mets are playing pretty well.
Yep, you move to the Central, the Brewers. Surprising to me that the Brewers are 14-8 to kick off the season. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd kind of take a step back. They have not. Cubs looking good. Reds, Mets they're playing okay. Well.
Reds are in there. That division's pretty solid.
Down at the bottom, Pirates. Though, you got the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom.
I would say if that goes on another month and they don't start looking better, I think we're going to see a manager change in St. Louis.
I think he's got a couple weeks.
It could be.
Because this team is better than what they're playing. They still are a flawed team, but they're not great. But they did win today. They won 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks. Maybe that'll get them going a little bit. Out in the West, you got the Dodgers. They're not really off to just a tremendous.
No, they're not.
And really, everybody else is pretty average right now in this division.
That division's pretty weak.
It is right now, but I think there are some teams that'll get to play a little bit better.
Well, San Diego's kind of they win a couple, and you think, okay, they're starting to play, and then they lose a couple, and then Arizona can't get going yet. They're kind of spinning their wheels. All the teams are out there.
Talk about a team I can't get right. That's San Diego.
Hard to pick. I can't get the Detroit.
Yeah,
and I can't get the Mets.
I got the Mets today. I have missed on them a couple times, and I've faded them, and they beat me a couple times as well. But I think I'm starting to kind of learn the Mets a little bit. I mean the Padres have been really tough for me. I'm trying to think. The Pirates. I've tried to beat them.
Yeah,
I've tried to play them, and I
can't get Milwaukee either.
Yeah, I can't get on the right side of Milwaukee.
No, I can't either.
I can't. Nope. They've really got me down. But the Cubs, the Reds, and number one on the list this year by far, the Orioles.
They're reliable. Yeah.
Those have been the teams that I've been able to make money on so far this year. Yeah, for sure. But like I said, it's early. I've been playing like 2 or 3 games a night, and starting last night I played 8, and today I played 9. So Yeah, playing. I took a little time. Said, all right, I know I like the Orioles. You know, I know a few teams I want to stay with. And now it's like, okay, it's time to attack. Like, I've got an idea of who these teams are now. So we'll see what happens. Tonight, my only play was the Bruins in the NHL, and you said you're on Toronto. So
yeah, Not the best, anyway. I think I took the Brewers tonight because they lost the first two in Pittsburgh. I can't see them losing all three.
Yeah, Brewers at 0-0 on the top of the third. I played the Brewers today as well. Yeah. Let's see what else is going on here. The Cardinals and the Mets. I played both them. They won. Now I did play the Guardians. They're behind right now as well. So a lot going out. I got seven more games to go. So we'll see. Happens. Yeah. Their playoff hockey has dropped. Bruins, Maple Leafs, no score, 16:55 first period. So we're just getting going. So that means we got to go, right?
That's right.
All right.
We're out of here.
Okay, we're going to get out of here. Good news. We'll be back tomorrow. Not Papa Dude and I, but I will be back. History Making Thursday. I have one show
tomorrow. Wow.
One. Oh, I went on VSiN on Tuesday instead of Thursday this week. They needed to switch days. So that's great. Magic will be on the Magic Mike show, so I don't have to do that. We did our show early. One show tomorrow for me. It'll be Blinkers Off and then Magic Mike as well. If you want to see Magic in an hour and 15 minutes, turn on TVG. He will be on making his debut. So a lot to look forward to. All right. We're going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we will be right back here next week. It'll probably be a lot of Derby talk next week on the channel.
This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.